Welcome to Daily on Africa, where we delve deep into the issues shaping our world. I'm Adebayo.
And I'm Himaka. Today's discussion is quite significant, Adebayo. We're exploring UK Prime Minister Rishi Sunak's newly enshrined Rwanda Deportation Bill, an attempt to address asylum procedures in a rather controversial fashion.
Absolutely, Himaka. It's a development capturing headlines and stirring diverse opinions across the globe. Sunak's government asserts that this policy will deter illegal migrations and reduce costs associated with asylum procedures.
Right, Adebayo. There's a lot of nuance to unpack here. This policy specifies the deportation of certain asylum seekers to Rwanda, where their cases will be processed. It's both a logistical and ethical challenge that has ignited debates on human rights, sovereignty, and international cooperation.
It's indeed a multifaceted issue, signalling a significant shift in how nations handle complex migration and refugee situations. Before we delve into the implications and reactions, Himaka, could you provide us with some background? How did this initiative come to be, and what does the UK government hope to achieve with it?
Of course, Adebayo. The law draws from the UK's broader strategy to reform its immigration system, deemed by some as lenient and ineffective in discouraging illegal entries. The government proposes that by relocating asylum processes to a third country, in this case Rwanda, it could mitigate the often dangerous attempts to reach the UK by irregular means.
Interesting point there, Himaka, and there's a lot at play concerning how this impacts the relationship between the UK and Rwanda, but also how it's perceived on the international stage.
Definitely, Adebayo. The international community has its eyes on the humanitarian implications of this policy. Meanwhile, Rwanda sees this as an opportunity to enhance its capabilities and showcase its growing influence in global initiatives.
Fascinating dynamics and a lot of layers to uncover. As we continue our discussion, we'll uncover how this piece of legislation fits into wider political and social contexts, explore its potential implications, and discuss the diverse perspectives that shape this debate.
Yes, and in our next segment, we'll be setting the stage by going deeper into these contexts, understanding the mechanics of the policy, and hearing from voices that directly affect or are affected by this law.
Stay tuned as we peel back the layers of this complex issue. This is Daily on Africa. Welcome back to our deep dive into the UK's Rwanda law. To set the stage, let's first talk about the man behind this legislation, UK Prime Minister Rishi Sunak. Himaka, could you give us some context on his role and influence on UK's foreign policies?
Absolutely, Adebayo. Rishi Sunak, having assumed the role of Prime Minister, quickly placed a strong emphasis on reforming the UK's approach to immigration. One of his signature moves is the Rwanda law, which forms a core part of his broader foreign policy strategy. Under his leadership, the UK is seen taking a harder stance on immigration, notably with policies that are both stringent and polarising.
That's quite a significant shift. Now let's dissect this Rwanda law a bit more. What does it entail and who exactly is affected by it?
The Rwanda law is essentially a legislative effort to deport a specific group of asylum seekers to Rwanda, where their claims would be processed. This is part of a wider strategy aimed at deterring illegal migration, with the government asserting that this approach will be more efficient and cost-effective. According to critics, however, these measures come at the expense of human rights and legal scrutiny.
So, this isn't just about logistics and economics. It's also a major international relations move. How does it fit into the larger scope of the UK's immigration policies and its international relations?
Indeed. Adebayo. By pushing this law, Sunak's government is testing the boundaries of both domestic and international law. This plan has already sparked significant controversy globally. Experts argue that it could breach Britain's human rights obligations under domestic and international law, challenging the way governments traditionally handle refugee and asylum processes.
With such a controversial backdrop, it sounds like this initiative is as much about making a statement as it is about policy efficacy.
Precisely. It's a bold stance, aiming to reshape the way the UK handles immigration and asserts itself on the world stage. This policy pushes every button from executive power to the conflict between domestic and international law, making it a critical point of discussion in understanding the current UK government's philosophy and strategy.
Thank you, Himaka, for setting that stage. Now let's delve deeper into the heart of this matter in our next segment, examining the criticisms, the legal battles, and the real-life implications of the Rwanda law.
Looking forward to it, Adebayo. There's so much more to uncover about how these policies play out on the ground and in the courts. Diving deeper into the Rwanda law, Adebayo, let's outline its core components. The primary goal of this law is to manage and reduce asylum claims made directly in the UK by deporting certain asylum seekers to Rwanda, where their applications will be processed.
That's a significant shift in procedure. What's the logistical framework set up to support this?
The UK government plans to use charter flights to transport asylum seekers to Rwanda, aiming to operate multiple flights every month. This logistical setup is intended to ensure that the law's implementation is prompt and effective. However, even after passing this legislation, the plan faces considerable challenges, including potential legal battles that could prevent these deportations from happening at the intended scale.
And what are the immediate implications for the asylum seekers involved?
The immediate impact could be quite severe, Adebayo. The conditions under which asylum seekers will be held and their cases processed in Rwanda are under scrutiny. Critics argue that the law could lead to violations of human rights, given the complexities of international asylum laws and the standards required for processing such claims.
Moving on to the long-term effects, this law could reshape the geopolitical dynamic significantly, couldn't it?
Absolutely. It stretches beyond the shores of the UK and Rwanda, affecting global perceptions and relations. The law might strain relationships with international partners and human rights organizations. It places the UK government in a contentious position, potentially affecting its international standing and involvement in global human rights advocacy.
Now, looking at the broader reactions, what are the main criticisms and concerns that have been raised?
Critics are vocal across various fronts. Adebayo, human rights groups, legal experts, and the public have expressed concerns that the law may breach international legal standards concerning the treatment of refugees and asylum seekers. The overarching fear is that this approach might undermine the UK's commitment to international laws and human rights.
It's a complex issue with deep implications for many. As we wrap up this segment, we look forward to hearing more direct experiences and testimonies.
Yes, and in our next segment, we'll bring in perspectives from those directly affected by the Rwanda law, as well as from experts and officials involved. It's crucial to understand not just the policy, but its human impact. Stay tuned.
We're now entering a segment where we truly hear from those most impacted by the Rwanda law. Himaka, what are the stakes here for various stakeholders?
Adebayo, it's a diverse landscape of opinions and stakes. First, we have statements from UK government officials who argue the law is a necessary step to control illegal migration and streamline the asylum process. For example, Illegal Immigration Minister Michael Tomlinson mentioned that the UK would only ratify the treaty with Rwanda after all necessary documentation is in place, ensuring Rwanda is recognized as a safe country.
And what about the voices from Rwanda?
Rwandan representatives echo a sentiment of readiness and cooperation, emphasizing that this partnership can help manage migration more efficiently while boosting Rwanda's capabilities and international relations. However, they are also cautious, aware of the global scrutiny regarding human rights and asylum processes.
It seems like a tightrope walk for all involved. Now, what's the perspective from NGOs and asylum seekers themselves?
NGOs are profoundly critical, Adebayo. They express grave concerns over the human rights implications and the adequacy of protection for asylum seekers. They argue that this policy could set a troubling precedent internationally. Asylum seekers share this fear, concerned about their rights and the quality of legal and social support they might receive in Rwanda.
Public opinion must be quite varied on this issue as well?
Indeed it is. Surveys and social media indicate a polarized public in both the UK and Rwanda. In the UK, there's a split between those who see this as a tough but necessary measure and others who view it as a moral failing of the government. In Rwanda, while some appreciate the economic and international relations boost, others are wary of the potential human rights responsibilities and the global image risk this involves.
All these perspectives certainly paint a complex picture of the law's reception.
They do, Adebayo. Each voice adds a layer to our understanding of the law's impact and the multifaceted nature of migration policies today.
As we reflect on these varied perspectives from the ground, let's prepare to shift our discussion to a comparative analysis in our next segment, examining how similar policies have unfolded in other nations and their outcomes.
I look forward to that, Adebayo. Comparing these experiences will undoubtedly provide deeper insights into the broader implications of migration policies like the Rwanda law.
As we dig deeper into the implications of the Rwanda law, it's insightful to compare this initiative with similar policies from other nations. Around the world, similar strategies have been implemented with varying degrees of success and controversy. Hemaka, how does this compare to situations we've seen elsewhere?
That's a vital question, Adebayo. Let's take Australia, for instance. Their offshore processing policy for asylum seekers, implemented in places like Nauru and Manus Island, shares some familiar echoes with the Rwanda law. Although it significantly decreased the number of boat arrivals, it faced immense international scrutiny and criticism over human rights violations and mental health impacts on detainees.
It seems these types of policies often come with a trade-off between controlling immigration and upholding human rights.
Exactly, Adebayo. It's a delicate balance. And speaking of balance, international laws and agreements play a crucial role in shaping these policies. The 1951 Refugee Convention, for instance, underpins the rights of asylum seekers and the obligations of nations. The Rwanda law, much like Australia's policy, must navigate these legal frameworks to avoid violating international commitments.
Intriguing perspective there, Hemaka. How do you see the legal precedents influencing the rollout and potentially the international reaction to the Rwanda law?
Legal precedents can indeed be both a guideline and a boundary. In the case of the Rwanda law, it will be scrutinized under various international laws regarding the treatment and rights of refugees and asylum seekers. The effectiveness and acceptability of such policies largely depend on their adherence to these laws. If found in breach, the UK could face legal challenges and backlash on the international stage.
It's clear that the stakes are as high legally as they are politically and morally.
Absolutely, Adebayo. The complexities of such policies highlight the intricate interplay between national interests and global responsibilities.
Thank you for that comprehensive analysis, Hemaka. Let's pivot to our next segment, where we'll hear from experts who will provide deeper insights into these complex dynamics, shaping our understanding of the Rwanda law and its potential ripple effects across the globe.
I'm looking forward to that, Adebayo. The expert opinions will certainly enrich our discussion further.
As we progress in our exploration of the Rwanda law, let's bring in expert opinions to discuss the potential challenges and legality of this policy. Hemaka, what insights have you gathered from the experts in immigration law, international relations, and human rights?
Adebayo, the experts highlight a range of perspectives on the challenges and legal aspects of the Rwanda law. Immigration law experts emphasize that the policy could face significant hurdles in terms of compliance with international human rights standards. They express concerns about the practical enforcement of such policies and their alignment with international laws that protect asylum seekers' rights.
That's quite telling. And how about the legality of this law? Any insights there?
Yes, from a legal standpoint, the law is walking a tightrope. Legal experts pointed out that the UK is bound by various international treaties, including the 1951 Refugee Convention and the European Convention on Human Rights. These documents set strong precedents that challenge the law's provisions on transferring asylum seekers to third countries seen as safe without thorough individual assessments of the asylum claims and conditions in the receiving country.
Interesting, Hemika. And what are the expert predictions on the future trajectory of this policy?
Experts predict a contentious future for the Rwanda law. They forecast a slew of legal challenges, both domestically and internationally. Moreover, they suggest that the outcomes of these legal battles could set new precedents for how countries handle migration and asylum. This could influence global asylum policies, potentially leading to more countries adopting similar outsourced asylum processing arrangements, or conversely, a tightening of international regulations to prevent such occurrences.
Those predictions suggest significant implications for international asylum policies going forward.
Indeed, Adebayo. The experts echo a sentiment that the Rwanda law is not just a UK issue, but a global one, affecting how nations collaborate on migration and human rights.
Thanks, Hemika, for that deep dive into the expert perspectives. As we ponder these expert insights, let's gear up for our next segment where we will wrap up today's discussion and reflect on the broader implications of the Rwanda law on global migration and human rights policies. Stay tuned. As we conclude today's extensive discussion on the Rwanda law, spearheaded by UK Prime Minister Rishi Sunak, let's take a moment to recap some of the critical points that have shaped our conversation.
Absolutely, Adebayo. We began by setting the stage with the law itself, a significant and contested move to manage asylum seekers by relocating their processing to Rwanda. Designed as a deterrent to illegal migration, the policy synthesizes legal, logistical, and ethical challenges.
And through our discussions, Hemika, we touched on how it fits within the larger picture of the UK's immigration policies and international relations. We heard from various stakeholders, from UK officials to Rwandan representatives, and the critical voices of NGOs and asylum seekers who are directly affected.
Our comparative analysis highlighted similar policies from around the world, giving us a perspective on the broader implications of such measures on the global stage.
The experts weighed in with profound insights on the potential legal challenges and the trajectory this policy might follow, posing important questions about international law and global migration policies.
And these discussions bring us to an important reflection point. This policy could very well serve as a mirror, reflecting the current global stance on migration and asylum, a stance that's continually evolving amidst global crises and changing political climates.
It's a reflection that stresses the ongoing need for dialogue, debate, and informed decision-making. As we've seen today, the implications of such policies are far-reaching and complex.
And with that complexity in mind, we encourage all our listeners to stay engaged and informed. The dynamics of global migration, the debates around asylum policies, and the intersections of law and human rights are topics that affect us all, regardless of borders.
Thank you, Hemika, for your insightful analysis, and to our listeners for joining us today. Don't forget to tune in to our next episodes, where we will continue to provide in-depth coverage of pivotal issues affecting Africa and beyond. Stay curious, stay informed, and keep striving for understanding. This is Adebayo from Daily on Africa, signing off.
And I'm Hemika. Thank you for being with us today. We look forward to having you in the next episodes. Goodbye for now.